ओम विष्णु बुधाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतलेश मदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश धारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दिस बुक शुद्ध भक्ति चिंतामणि and we are discussing the second chapter, eligibility for devotion. So I will quickly go through recap today. It's Tuesday. Yesterday we had the meeting, so we could not meet. So today, till now we have completed in this chapter, we have tried to understand how does this what is the eligibility for getting devotion? The eligibility is faith, and one gets that faith through Agyat Sukriti. मैं सोचा कि नेक्स्ट वीक है तो यही हफ्ता है, ठीक है। एनीवे, तो वी अंडरस्टूड दैट वन गेट्स दिस फेथ बाय अक्यूमुलेटिंग अज्ञात सुकृति। मैं डिटेल में नहीं जा रहा हूं। एंड व्हेन दैट अज्ञात सुकृति अक्यूमुलेट्स एंड बिकम्स फेथ, व्हाट इज दैट फेथ? श्रद्धा शब्द विश्वास को है सुदृढ़ निश्चय, कृष्ण भक्ति कहले सर्व कर्म कृत है। वन गेट्स दिस फेथ दैट just by doing bhakti I am achieving all my desires are getting fulfilled, I don't have to do anything else. That is that faith. So, and also he understands that just as by pouring water to the root of the tree all the twigs, leaves and fruits get the water, similarly by worshipping Krishna all the demigods, देव ऋषि भूत आप्त नृणाम पितृणाम न किं करो नायम ऋणीच राजन सर्वात्मनाय शरणम शरण्यम गतो मुकुंदम परिहृत्य कर्तुम। सो वन गेट्स दिस फर्म फेथ दैट जस्ट बाय वर्शिपिंग कृष्णा ऑल माय ऋण और ऑल माय डेट टू द देवतास ऋषिस एंड ऑल द अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज एवरीथिंग इज टेकन केयर। सर्वात्मनाय शरणम शरण्यम, सर्वात्मना मीन्स one may say that, oh, I don't have that kind of surrender. So I have to individually take care of my responsibilities. No. Here Sarvatmana means one who has the pure devotional faith. It is not talking about the strength of that faith. It is talking about purity of faith. Sarvatmana means jnana karma dhyanavritam. So Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihartya kartam means one who has this faith. Shraddha shabde vishwasakahe sudrida nischai Krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma kutahai. And this Shraddha can be komala Shraddha also. Weak faith. But it should be pure. If it is pure, one need not show one's individually try to fulfill the responsibility. If one says that I am not so advanced, then one should more intensely water the root. If one feels that he is not so advanced, one should more intensely water the root rather than trying to spray water on the leaves and fruits and flowers. So therefore, that is the point. So therefore we discussed that in this context we discussed about astrology. So if someone is going through some physical, mental, financial, job related difficulties, one may try to resolve it by going to an astrologer. The astrologer may say, aapka graha dosh hai, you know, these planetary systems are creating problem for you, or your past karma and all those things. So, this is the biggest test for a devotee. Now, because if his sambandha gyan is not very clear, then he will believe it. See, basically there are two systems, two statements which are both bona fide, which are there in the scriptures. One statement says, you are suffering because of your karma, because the planets are malevolent, means they are against you, or one may say that the following demigods are not happy with you, and therefore do these prayaschittas. Prayaschitta 1, prayaschitta 2, prayaschitta 3. Okay, this is the first when you go to an astrologer. Astrologer spelling
correct?
L-O-G-E-R. Astrologer. And this is also Vedic. Perfect. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam will tell you, this is one sambandha gyan. Srimad Bhagavatam will give you another sambandha gyan. You are suffering because it is Krishna's plan to bring you close to his lotus feet. It is an opportunity for you to intensify your shelter or surrender. Okay. Solution. Prayers. Intensify your bhakti. So this is another sambandha gyan. Okay. So now, what do you believe? Both are Vedic. This is also Vedic. This is also Vedic. ये गलत नहीं है, ये भी गलत नहीं है. Now the point is, if you are not within the realm, if you are not practicing pure devotional service, this is correct. Not that these astrologers are bogus, not that the science of astrology is bogus, but if you are practicing pure devotional service, then your suffering is directly handled by Krishna. Krishna is putting you in that particular situation so that you can come closer to his lotus feet. And it is an opportunity to, for you to intensify your surrender. Now the point is, where do you invest your faith? If you invest your faith here, he will tell you prayaschitta 1, 2, 3, which involves worship of demigods. And you worship demigods, then Krishna backs away, backs out. He says, you are inclined to worship him, I will create faith in your heart and I will intensify the faith. So that is the direction in which we will go. Our faith in Krishna will go down, our faith in the demigod will be enhanced by Krishna. If we go here, the suffering may not immediately go away, but we may gain strength to address the situation, and our faith in Krishna will increase. But in the transition period, that is where our Vaishnava relationships will come to help us. If the Vaishnava community comes together and gives solid support to the person who is undergoing crisis, then his faith in Krishna and Vaishnavas will be protected. The person will not feel that he is struggling alone. The person will not feel that it is my problem. The person will feel that I am not struggling alone here. All these people are concerned about my problem. It is a collective struggle. So he will get the strength to struggle forward, and his faith in Krishna and Vaishnavas will become more strong. But when the person is undergoing trouble, if the Vaishnava community itself comes together and says, go to an astrologer and do all these prayaschittas, which is directly not only is it not recommended, but one is what is a more stronger form of not recommended? One is prohibited from performing these karmakandiya prayaschittas, which are aimed towards pacifying individual demigods to rectify the situation. Because this is based on improper sambandha gyan.
They are harmful for
them. Yeah, they are harmful, and it is not a fact. When Krishna is under control of the situation, how can the demigods cause any problem there? Their position is at risk. Madbhayad vati vato yam suryastapati madbhayad visadhi adalde. Krishna says that if a devotee is worshipping me and if a demigod is causing any trouble to that devotee, then Krishna says, I will not think twice before removing him from his post. If that is the assurance that Krishna is giving to his devotee, why should a devotee think that my suffering is due to a planetary position or a demigod? One should instead pray to Krishna to give him the intelligence to understand how he should act in that situation so that he can come closer to his lotus feet. Krishna, please give me the intelligence to exercise my free will in the right way so that I can come closer to your lotus feet. And the Vaishnava community should come together and give solid support to the devotee who is suffering. Then his faith in Krishna and in the Vaishnavas will be protected. So any so therefore unwittingly Vaishnavas may suggest astrology as a possible solution, but the problem is it has the potential to create alternate faith and weaken the faith in Krishna. Generally, one who goes to an astrologer once, it's never a single visit. So what is that? No one can taste just one. What is it? No one can eat just one. It is. Not kya ho? Chip. So no one can eat just one. Actually, you go once and then you go on repeating. Then you want to take the horoscope of your brother, sister, mother, father, and for every small thing you want the astrologer to predict your life. When Krishna is handling, you go to an astrologer and he says that the planetary systems are controlling your life, and eventually after some time the planetary systems actually start controlling your life, because Krishna is has backed off. He said, this is your inclination, you want the planetary systems to control your life, let them control.
It is a choice of every individual.
It is a choice of the individual, and it is a choice of the it also depends on the Vaishnava community. How that individual has developed the relationships in the Vaishnava community, and how they come together and support him in this time of crisis. That will make or break his faith in the Vaishnavas and in Krishna. But if they don't come together, then he has no other choice. He has to cope with the suffering. He'll go to an astrologer and end up losing his faith. I don't think so. Even if that is the case, matlab, see, one thing is, okay, currently my consciousness is such that I am getting into conflicts with devotees. So let me cool down by sitting and studying Bhagavatam for 2 years. That is fine. But if one thinks that mera saade saati chal raha hai, and that is why everything is the question is, who is under control? Is Krishna under control, or is it the planetary systems who are subservient to Krishna who is under control? One has to see that. So therefore, this is a very important point which we need to understand. It's not that the astrologer's solution will not work. Krishna is behind it. He will make it work. And if it works, we are in bigger trouble.
Just asking you on that, this is theory. This is correct. But on a practical platform, whenever you want to go to the temple, whenever something goes wrong in an area, you get a lot of astrologers trying to understand the situation. Do the shanti of the temple, do the shanti of the temple. That, it's part of a living system to do all those things.
नहीं है, पार्ट ऑफ द वैदिक सिस्टम मीन्स व्हाट, लाइक सर्टेन इसमें नरसिंह होम करेंगे, दैट इज फाइन, दैट इज अ वैष्णव वे ऑफ डीलिंग विद थिंग्स, बट इफ दैट इन्वॉल्व्स डेमी गॉड्स एंड ऑल दोस थिंग्स, even though that it might be peripherally Vedic, but it is not exactly the Vaishnava way of doing it.
And how much you can do to like this area, certain things that happen because of ghost? So to make ghost run away or make this place black space, people space for Bhagavan, you have to focus on that.
Nay, if you do a Vaishnava practice, then it's fine. But if you are doing some demigod related these things, which is, I mean, it could be quite possible that in a particular place it may be infested with some ghosts. But, like, I think what they did was, like, they did a yajna for pacifying, for invoking the presence of Narsingadev. And it resolved the issue.
What I'm trying to understand is, Karmakanda generally involves demigods worship for some material or some relief. So if the same aspiration, if God is involved, it's no more Karmakanda.
That is not called Karmakanda.
No.
See, here, when for the same reason, but it is not for oneself, when the institution comes, then there are other people whose faith may not be pure. So they have to be given protection. So for that purpose, when the institution comes into question, then certain things can be done. But for a personal level, when you do it, it will have a different effect.
Main reason why.
Ah.
I'm just trying to understand.
In terms of marriages also, where, you know, devotees go to astrologer for matching. So, for past one decade, it has been, rather than going outside, some sections of devotees, they only learn the astrology. And so, devotees go to them only.
See, one's astrological chart indicates two things. One is karma, another is swabhava. Okay? So, as soon as one takes up to devotional service, karma is gone. Krishna takes over. So whether his astrological chart, see, karma is, when you use an astrological chart to study his karma, it is used as a predictive tool. What is going to happen in his life? Prediction. But the moment someone takes up to karma, to bhakti, he is off the platform of karma and Krishna takes control. And you cannot predict. नैयस्य कर्हिचित् राजन् पुमान् वेद विदिच्छतो यद् विजिज्ञासया युक्ता मुह्यन्ति कवयोपि. Even the most intelligent person are bewildered. They cannot understand the plans of Krishna. So when a devotee, when Krishna starts handling a devotee, his life cannot be predicted by an astrological chart. If he puts faith in it, then it will become predictable because Krishna will back out. But when it comes to marriage matchmaking, an astrological chart also predicts swabhava. Swabhava means one's conditioned nature. And even after taking up to bhakti, one's conditioned nature do not change immediately. It takes a very long time for the conditioned nature to change. So, in marriage matchmaking, what is checked is the swabhava of the boy and the swabhava of the girl, which are fairly predictable. And you see that whether there is a match or not. So that I think is fair. Even in Vaishnava systems, you know, an astrological chart has been used for marriage matchmaking, which is very bona fide. But
swabhava does not include all those things like he has born on so and so date and so city and so time.
It depends. Yeah. Based on that only it predicts the swabhava. Based on that, it predicts the swabhava.
Because like, recently, last month of Nirvani, devotee who is practicing for last 10 years. So, he was, since last 2 years, he was searching for match. So, then, when I asked him, he said, you have Mangalik. I don't know what is that. What is that I don't know. So he said, you have this.
So you have to find another girl who has also not born.
But still, you can find matches. If you find matches, if you match, you get married. Within 1 month,
you will die. She will die.
So, and yes, he was like for last 4 years, whenever he was searching, the relation establishes. For next 4 months, it continues. I mean, yes, like it becomes strong, but as soon as the date of marriage comes, something happens. So, when these things happen, like, swabhav or karma, or like, whatever is the thing.
See, the point is, it involves another person also. If both are pure devotees, if both are practicing pure devotional service, it's a different thing. But there are two people involved whose faith need not necessarily be pure. So then there is always it becomes a little confusing. So therefore, for marriages, it is always good, and it has been a traditional Vaishnava practice also. For marriages, you refer to astrological chart, because you do not know the other person's faith also. Like that.
Question. Huh?
Okay.
Something you were saying. Like 8th and 9th temple somewhere, the temple worship one.
One of the king, he was worshipping demigods, doing Karmakandic sacrifice, but he was thinking demigods as a part of Krishna, and then...
That is born of it. That is born of it. See, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita talks about three kinds of worship. He talks about direct worship. He talks about indirect worship. And he talks about improper worship. Direct worship is patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam pada sevanam. Indirect worship he talks about in 9th chapter. Jnana yajnana chapyanne ajanto mam upasate ekatvena pratakvena bhakta vishvato mukam. So this is indirect worship, where worshipping the impersonal aspect, virat root worship, in which you may worship the, it may include worship of demigods, but you may worship the demigods considering them to be limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is indirect worship.
Indirect.
Improper worship is worshipping the demigods. Ejante, tepi mameva konteya ejante avidipurvakam, Krishna says. Okay. So direct worship gives prema, which is eternal. Indirect worship gives impersonal liberation, or even it may give personal liberation but not prema. Okay, and this is also eternal. And improper worship, demigod worship, may at the most give swarga, or within this material world it may give some benediction, but that is temporary. What is that verse? Demigod worship giving insignificant result. What is it? Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavat yalpa medasam. Devan devayajo yanti matbhakta yanti mamapi, Krishna says. So, if someone worships the devatas considering them to be limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is an indirect form of worshipping the Supreme Lord, which can give them impersonal liberation actually. And Krishna calls it, worshipping Him through Jnana Yajna. So that is an indirect form of worship, bona fide. But it cannot give prema. Only direct worship can give prema. Okay. So, he says that when pure faith is there, it has three symptoms. And these three symptoms are successive symptoms. One is trust in scripture. Second is taste for devotional service. And the third is increasing strength in performing devotional service. So these are the three symptoms when pure devotional faith is there. Okay. So then he says that, and the characteristic of impure faith is that it is exactly in contrast to this. While pure faith is based on proper sambandha jnana, impure faith is founded on a distorted knowledge, improper knowledge. Okay. So some characteristic of impure faith, that is trust in scriptures, taste for devotional service, and increasing strength in performing devotional service, some of these symptoms may be very similar to pure faith. Therefore, strong impure faith may seem to be more elevated than weak pure faith. Is it clear? Once pure faith may be weak, komala shraddha, and once impure faith may be very strong. But the point is that impure faith will never give prema. How much ever elevated it is, how much ever strong it may be, but the weak faith, slowly, 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 by proper association of devotees, if you protect it, it will give prema. A devotee consulting psychiatrist. See, it is still better than, I would say, personally reading the psychology or psychiatry books and trying to solve the issues. You go to a doctor, do whatever he says, resolve it and move on. I don't think anyone would bring that doctor's photo onto one's altar and start worshipping him. So, if there is an issue, I personally,
from my understanding of Bhagavad Gita analysis, all the mental problems comes from something doing wrong in our daily life, something doing something. And if we correct based on our behavior, based on scriptures, it should rectify. So,
but at that point, that person may not be in a mentally stable state to understand the scriptures and apply it also.
But these doctors give some tablets and these doctors don't. Their solution is also
not. Then one could take some then Ayurvedic treatment if it treats the mental disabilities.
Happening to a normal person, some mental thing, he gets to understand. But whatever, I have read very Syrian elevated sannyasis who have done a lot of seva and during some point of time that they are going to this problem, issues, stress issues, and just recently one of the Maharaj is on issue the statement that he is going through something, mental issues. How
it
happens to that level
of devotees? Is that with Krishna? I suppose. See, only that each individual can only gauge his level of development in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, you cannot directly, even though we have to, for our own spiritual progress, we have to give respect to devotees according to their, at least you can say that, external designations. But internally, their progress, you cannot, only the individual knows. But that does not mean that one who is going through this is in any way spiritually weak or anything like that. So,
is it to do with any old age devotee as he goes through shari problems? Anything to do with that? The body part of body is. Mental and other, I said that the person is not mentally able to balance. Spiritual connection, people who are doubtful, they say connected at the one side. The disciples will feel.
It is quite possible that it can shake the faith of the disciples. But
there are verses in the Bhagavatam which says even
their memory is distorted, something like that. Krishna will still be missing out.
If I understand it properly, is related to that the mind is like controlled, or you can say the first individual is in the control of the activities of the mind. That's what Gita has spoken, just because that Arjuna focuses his mind on Krishna. Everything is based on man is repeated.
So all psychological problems should be handled by Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. That is his.
It should give solution. Yes.
See, that is true. But there is always a very strong psychosomatic connection. It may not be purely mental issue also. Certain things may be triggered by certain hormones. Like for example, when women undergo the menstrual period, at that time due to Prananath or someone was there, they would be able to comment on that. So at that time, certain particular hormones, they get secreted, which affects the mind of the woman very strongly. They are more irritable and very moody during that time. So, lot of mental related problems are, they have a strong body related connection also. If it's a purely mental related problem, yes, true, you know, you can say, dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate. So, tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bartarishabha. You know, those kind of things can be addressed in that way.
What kind of verse I'm referring is not what he is saying. I was referring like Bhishmadev, even at the end of life, his consciousness is perfectly alright.
Correct.
Some verse,
For that we have to understand Bhishmadev, his spiritual position. So, Madhurya Kadambini describes at what stage of spiritual practice, how much the anarthas are completely gone. You know, so at the stage of anarthanavritti, how much it is gone, at the stage of nishtha, how much it is gone, at the stage of ruchi or asakti. So apparently it seems like even only at the stage of bhava it is purna, completely gone, only at the stage of bhava. So anywhere before that, it can actually affect the person if the person is probably not very attentive. So we cannot completely comment on these things. So yes, it is true that they are like a very exalted sannyasis, they have given their lives. But it is sannyas in the traditional Vedic system, we have to understand, is an indication that the person's heart has been completely cleansed by properly executing his prescribed duties in a detached way. So traditional Vedic sannyas in the Varnashram system is a position where the person can say very confidently, yes, my heart is completely pure. But Vaishnava sannyas, especially as started by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was more of a an act which was done to stop people from prematurely taking up to the Babaji initiation. That is one thing. And second, it was like a preaching, you can say, yeah, strategy, rather than offering it according to proper qualifications, even during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and all the more during the time of Srila Prabhupada. So there is no clear-cut way of evaluating within the Vaishnava realm whether the person's heart is completely purified or not. So just because someone is sannyasi, it does not automatically translate by telling that, oh, he must be at the stage of bhava. Many might as well be, but we don't have a proper way of telling, because that is not a criteria. Criteria for giving sannyas is not, oh, he should be at least at the stage of bhava. It's not like that. And you will say, come, let me see how many sattvika vikaras are manifesting in your heart. I will chant out now Ahobakiyam, and I should see all the ashta sattvika vikar in your body. It's not like that. So you cannot exactly say. It's not very... And at any stage, people may make some mistakes. And how Krishna wants to deal with a particular person, how he wants to deal with a particular anartha of a particular person, it's between Krishna and that particular devotee. We cannot exactly, what exactly is going through, we cannot understand. It's between him and Krishna.
I was asking you this because we stay with association devotees, and we have also stayed outside also. So we have seen some pattern of behavior of a person whose mental stability is not there. So aram se maalum pad jata hai, the way he acts, the way he kya kar raha hai, kya nahi kar raha hai. So within association also, many times we find that the individual ka wo pattern normal average se bait nahi raha. So he is to be recommended to the doctor, or it is said Krishna will handle this case?
No. See, those cases need medical attention for sure. Those cases need medical attention for sure.
Telling him that you are of this.
That has to be very sensitively handled. Nay, that is true in the outside case also. Even the outside world, you go and tell someone, Prabhuji, I think you need some psychiatric help.
It's strong.
Because more than identification with the physical body, identification with the subtle body is very strong. So you tell someone, Prabhuji, aap ye utha nahi payenge, chhod do. Still okay, he will not feel very bad. You tell him that, Prabhuji, aap mentally stable nahi hai. Then you tell him someone, Prabhuji, I think you have to take some multivitamins. You tell him, Prabhuji, I think you need some psychiatric help. It's very difficult because the identification of the subtle body is very strong. It has to be very sensitively done, both within the devotee circles and outside the devotee circles. Because his ability to comprehend philosophy itself is very much challenged at this stage. So some basic level he has to be brought.
What I was trying to say is PDS for him, pure devotional service for him.
Mm.
For that kind of fellow who is trying to ascertain on himself that मेरे को ये ज़रूरत नहीं है, कृष्ण भक्ति मेरा सब समस्या का समाधान करने वाला है. ये मैं भी convinced at that level. जो बाजू का आदमी उसको देख रहा है, भाई तेरा normal behavior pattern भी कोई आदमी देखेगा तो हिल जाएगा. So how to make the right side?
Yeah, it's not an easy case. It's very difficult to handle it actually. It's not easy. So that's why at some point the management has to take a call that we have to actually involve his parents and relatives and take a collective decision, involve all of them and take him to a position where he can take some help. Otherwise, it's not easy, actually. Especially if that person has not. And sometimes these kind of issues can also crop up. See, devotional service has solution for everything. But the point is, the person should, at what stage of one's devotional service that those kind of issues can be addressed by devotional service, we should know. And whether the person will be able to quickly raise his devotional service to that level where that issue can be addressed purely by devotional service, that is a question mark. If this person at this rate of his progress will take at least another 20 years to reach that level of devotional development, then for 20 years you will have to suffer. We can always take some additional help. So yes, devotional service can solve, but till then he has to survive to reach that level of devotional development for addressing that issue. So therefore, I don't think that should be a major issue. We can always take some.
One more question, just last thing in this section. Empowered soul. Our understanding of empowered within this one context is kitna logo bhakt bana raha hai, kitna mandiron mein kar paya, kitne center khol paya, kitne book distribute kiye, kitne logo ko influence kiya, the scale, the height, the whatever magnitude. And then one sudden day that person comes and say, we understand that he has
Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. He says, first thing he says is, Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pravartan. That he mentions, he clarifies that, he says that it means, it indicates the quality of devotees that he makes, not the quantity of devotees, the number of devotees that he makes, but the quality of the devotees who get inspired by him and take up devotional service. That is one thing. And second is, it is quite possible that he might have taken unhealthy stress in practicing of his Krishna consciousness also. And for that, temporarily he might undergo some breakdown. And over a period of time, which may not necessarily be in this lifetime also, it could be in the next lifetime also, he may take up to Krishna consciousness and Krishna will allow him to progress from where he left. So
this is to understand his perspective. But what happens is the disciple or the people who are following him, they have taken shelter of that individual. Mm. Who we understood was his guru. Of course, we can understand that he is connected to Prabhupada.
See, whether that thing could also have a, like for example, a Vishruti Dharma Prabhu. So he has been diagnosed with brain cancer. Okay. And he is practically now not able to take care of himself also. So there could be cases where people have not diagnosed the physical connection to the mental disorder also. So therefore, the point is someone has to step in and properly give shelter to the other devotees and educate them properly. So proper education is important. So if they are not properly educated, then they will get bewildered. So therefore, there is no shortcut to actually properly educating the followers. So, in summary, faith connected to bhakti is of two types: pure faith and semblance of faith. Shraddha and Shraddha Bhas. So the seed of the creeper of semblance of devotion is planted in the heart of living entities through contact with incomplete, imperfect or distorted knowledge. So when we come in touch with incomplete, imperfect or distorted knowledge, then we are running the risk of planting our hearts with mixed seed, mixed devotional seed. Once sown in the heart or once accepted by the aspirant, this seed sprouts into semblance of faith, Shraddha Bhas, which then impels its recipients to practice the semblance of devotion, Bhakti Abhas. So when he receives that seed of impure devotion or mixed devotion, it manifests into Shraddha Bhas, and Shraddha Bhas actually becomes Bhakti Abhas. So then he starts practicing mixed devotional service. So one may say that, अरे प्रभुपाद ने तो सबको शुद्ध भक्ति का ही बीज दिया है, तो ये मिक्स डिवोशनल सर्विस के बारे में सुनने का जरूरत क्या है? What is the need for ISKCON devotees to hear about mixed devotional service? प्रभुपाद has given us pure बीज only ना, प्रभुपाद ने तो आपको चीट नहीं किया, मिश्र भक्ति का बीज तो दिया नहीं, तो सुनने का क्या जरूरत है? He says, but understanding this mixed devotion is relevant because even though the members of ISKCON receive the seed of pure devotion, they still need to carefully examine whether or not they have fully accepted it. जो प्रभुपाद ने दिया है उतना ही accept किया, कि इधर उधर से थोड़ा 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 वो सब भी accept किया है. If you have accept, प्रभुपाद has given pure thing, but have you accepted only what प्रभुपाद has given, or have you accepted other things also? Have you, if you have accepted it, have you properly cultivated it? Have you carefully protected it from the influence of unwanted creepers? So these things we should know. And unless we understand the nature of mixed devotion, we will not know if we have allowed these things to influence our faith or not. If for some reason devotees stray from the path of pure faith and pure devotion, they must be able to recognize such deviations by their symptoms and rectify them. We were discussing this yesterday. Actually, they will not be able to identify. Other people will only identify. अरे कुछ तो गड़बड़ दिख रहा है. अरे आपको भी लग रहा है क्या? मुझे भी लग रहा है कुछ तो गड़बड़ है. But the very person, he will be preaching it. He can't. So Shraddha level पे contamination है. The person does not know. बट कंडीशनिंग का लेवल पे गड़बड़ है, द पर्सन विल इमीडिएटली नो कि मेरा गड़बड़ है, आई एम अफेक्टेड, ही विल नो. व्हाट आर द पॉसिबल कॉसेस ऑफ डिस्ट्रैक्शन फ्रॉम द पाथ ऑफ प्योर फेथ? सो व्हाई वुड वन गेट डिस्ट्रैक्टेड फ्रॉम प्योर फेथ? श्रील प्रभुपाद मेंशंस द फॉलोइंग: नॉट प्रॉपरली एक्सेप्टिंग द सीड और द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर्स इंस्ट्रक्शन, not watering the seed properly, and not uprooting unwanted creepers and therefore succumbing to their influence. Bhakti bhi chal raha hai, saath saath mein baaki log bhi, baaki cheez bhi chal raha hai. upashakas. So as already mentioned, he defines the Bhakti Lata Bija as the instructions that give the methods, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service. If devotees do not take the spiritual master's instructions as they are given, if instead they succumb to the bias of personal motivation, they cannot properly water the seed. As a result, the creeper of devotion will not sprout. Prabhupada writes, one who has not properly heard from the spiritual master or who does not follow the regulative principles is not fit for chanting kirtan. In short, improper hearing results in impotent chanting, which means without proper sambandha gyan, one cannot chant shuddhana. This is the whole basis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, Harinam Kirtana. With improper sambandha gyan, shuddhanam cannot be chanted. Improper hearing results in impotent chanting, the effect of which is a heart devoid of pure devotion. Moreover, if while watering the seed of devotional service, devotees engage in unbecoming behavior, they may uproot the very creeper they are trying to cultivate. Uproot means along with the seed, everything is gone. Srila Prabhupada does not mince words when spelling out the disastrous consequences of such unseemly conduct. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant which by force uproots the Bhakti Lata and breaks it to pieces. Such an offense is especially created when one disobeys the instructions of the spiritual master. As soon as one is deviated from the spiritual master's instructions, the uprooting of the Bhakti Lata begins and gradually all the leaves dry up.
Just understanding instructions of the spiritual master, just clarification. So, in the circles of masculine, I had this out for many years. Prabhupada gave initiation for many of his disciples. Many of them were very exemplary, most of them. And some felt at some point of time that we follow Prabhupada, but we are not within his path. And they are doing the devotional service. So, are they the next seed or? Because within ISKCON, rarely Prabhupada the path follower came. Prabhupada used to many times focus on ISKCON as this institution body or whatever. So how do you take those devotees and understand?
See, a blanket statement nahi bol sakte iska. Because it depends on the experiences of individuals. Some people have gone through very difficult. So they may, in the heart of heart, perfectly follow Prabhupada, but identifying themselves within ISKCON may put them into other kinds of trouble. So they may, for practical purposes, may not want to identify with ISKCON. But they may be more sincerely practicing Prabhupada's instructions while staying away from ISKCON. So you cannot generalize these things. Yeah. So. If they are going out and preaching that no one should be within ISKCON, ISKCON is a bogus institution, then that is serious offense. But if they themselves are not very comfortable staying inside because of lot of bad experiences, it's understandable. Krishna will understand. The varieties of such fearsome creepers are unlimited. Therefore, devotees must be painstakingly attentive to recognize them. Today I went and took permission from Shri Nandanandan Prabhu. Prabhuji ek book kareedna hai, Manas Siksha. Some of you might have seen. Manas Siksha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself has written two commentaries. One is Bhajan Darpan commentary, which is prose. And another poetic commentary has written, which is called Manas Siksha Bhasha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Raghunath Das Goswami's Manas Siksha. 12 verses, that's all. But book is this thick. Two commentaries. And then classes given by Shivaram Swami Maharaj, Jayadvait Swami Maharaj, Sachinandan Maharaj, and 4-5 Maharaj, Urmila Mataji.
Oh, I think Madhu
Madhu
this book.
That second half is a compilation by contemporary
this.
It's not always written in English.
No, Bengali. Translated in English.
Huh?
Translated by Haribarshad Prabhu and team. And commented by various acharyas. So, very wonderful book. Maybe if we get an opportunity after Shuddha Bhakti Chanta. And Madhumadhava Prabhu said it was a soft copy we have. It has to be purchased, of course, 400-500 rupees.
Soft copy.
But उसका cut pasteable soft copy है क्या देखना पड़ेगा है तो then we can make powerpoints
and only on the 12 verses
only on the 12 verses okay Srila Prabhupada comments all these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers they simply present obstacles for the real creeper the bhakti lata One should be very careful to avoid these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the bhakti creeper. That's when the problem is. If they are distinctly different, no problem. Abhi, it is very easy to identify attraction for opposite sex or attraction for sports and games. It's easy to understand that that these are like, but the more subtler it is, attraction for cows. So this is like very, very close to pure devotion. But it may not necessarily be pure devotional faith also. So we have to, it takes some careful introspection to identify it. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper. But in spite of this, the creepers are called upashaka or unwanted. If devotees do not pay strict attention, the water of their hearing and chanting will go to the weeds instead of devotional creeper. In this regard, to stress the importance of avoiding offenses, Conan. Bankar. In this regard, to stress the importance of avoiding offenses and to help us further identify unwanted creepers, Srila Prabhupada includes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur's commentary on the above verse. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes materially attached to sense gratification. One may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Mayavadis, or one may become attached to the yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers. If one is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called Siddhi Lobhi or greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic and crooked behavior or one may associate with women for illicit sex. So these are all the results of trying to chant the holy names without giving up offenses. One may make a show of devotional service like the Prakrita Sahajiyas or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement, like caste Goswamis. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master. One may become attached to the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat-eating, or one may consider a Vaishnava to belong to a mundane caste or creed. These are the results of practicing devotional service without consciously trying to give up the 10 offenses. One may think, this is a Hindu Vaishnava and this is a European Vaishnava. European Vaishnavas are not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. Thinking one a Brahmana Vaishnava, another a Shudra Vaishnava, another a Naicha Vaishnava and so on. One may also try to carry out a professional business by means of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or reading Shrimad Bhagavatam, or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means. Also, one may become a cheap Vaishnava by trying to chant in a secluded place for material adoration, or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees concerning one's philosophy or spiritual life. or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu mahatma or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has been victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and the real creeper, the Bhakti Lata, has been stunted. To learn to identify and avoid unwanted habits is the first reason one should study the semblance of faith. Why ISKCON devotees need to know about mixed devotional faith? So that we can address our own unwanted habits. The second reason is to help persons who may not have had the good fortune to have awakened pure faith. You should understand that here is a nice person, but his seed is not pure. Maybe if he gets, let me be nice to him so that one day he will become agreeable to hear from me and I can give him the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. For that reason, just as common persons purchase a gold plated instead of solid gold jewelry, worshippers with meager piety are drawn to the indirect path instead of the direct one. Effective preachers recognize the symptoms of impure faith and know how to patiently guide persons to pure faith. This is effective preacher. He does not fan his impure faith ka jo tendencies hai, usko fan nahi karna chahiye. He should effectively slowly bring him to pure faith rather than fanning his impure faith tendencies. Despite the inferiority of the indirect path, at times Krishna recommends it to the faithless and ignorant. He tells Arjuna, so as not to disrupt the minds of the ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Na buddhi vedam janai agyanam karma sanginam. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for gradual development in Krishna consciousness. One should not immediately ask them to stop what they are doing, but gradually, by giving him an association, you should try to transform him.
It may take lifetimes.
Krishna himself does not begrudge those who pay lip service to Vedic mantras, nor those who work for him only to quench their lust. Krishna does not. Krishna says, fine, no problem. Liberal and patient as a super soul in their hearts, he cultivates and steadies the impure faith by which materialists pursue their goods. So if you approach Krishna as a muktikami, Krishna does not remove that desire. Krishna will give you mukti and leave you. If you approach Krishna as a bhuktikami, he will give you bhukti and leave you. He will not remove that desire and give you bhakti. If you approach Krishna for prema, he will give you prema.
Sir, what is meant by that verse? Satyam vidatum.
Satyam vidatum or Satyam dishati artita martita andana. So that verse, if you see in the, I'll tell you from the Chaitanya Charitamrita point of view and from Bhagavatam point of view. From Bhagavatam point of view, in the commentary to that verse is, for those who may not know, Satyam dishati artitam artito nrinam naivartado yat punarartito yataha swayam vidatte bhajatam anichatam iccha pidanam nijapada pallavam. Fifth canto verse, where it is mentioned that if one approaches Krishna with the material desires, Krishna definitely fulfills it. But he fulfills it in such a way that the person does not approach him for fulfilling such desires again. How does he do it? Swayam vidatte bhajatam anichatam icchapidanam nijapada pallu. By giving his own lotus feet to that person, he makes him forget all material desires. Like that he says. Purport mein, Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. But Dhruva Maharaj is a very rare case. But still rare cases do exist. And in that commentary, he writes that Vishnadevi Thakur says, even though both are pure, one which is naturally pure and one which has been forcefully purified. He says both are pure, but definitely one which is naturally pure is superior to one which has been forcefully purified. So he says, therefore Hanumanji is, even though Hanumanji and Dhruva Maharaj are both pure devotees, still Hanumanji is a more exalted devotee. That explanation he gives. So even though the concept is given, the example is given of a Kripa Siddha, not of a Sadhana Siddha. He approached Krishna as an Artharthi and Krishna forcefully purified him by giving him Kripa. But that is not the general case. The general case is Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udara Dehi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Ajeta Purusham Param. For fulfilling their desires only, not for removing the desires. That's what. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also this verse is quoted. In Sanatana Siksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks to Sanar and he tells this verse. He says, and then he gives a Bengali explanation of this. Anyakami yadi kare Krishnera bhajan na magiteha tare Krishna swacharan, something like that. And then he says that kamalagi Krishna kare kama chadi dasa haite ei abhilashu. So if one approaches Krishna with material desire and worships him, then he ends up giving up that material desire and desires to become a servant of Krishna. How does this happen? You go on reading verse after verse. He says that, few verses later he says, when such a person who worships Krishna with the material desires comes in touch with a pure devotee, and then the pure devotee changes his heart. Then he quotes this verse, Bhavapa Vargo Brahmato Yada Bhavet. Janasya tarhi achyuta satsamagam satsangamo yarhi tadaiva sadgato paravareshe tvaijayate. He quotes this verse to indicate that how does Krishna remove the material desire from a person who approaches him with material desire. He says, in some cases, if they are fortunate enough to come in touch with a pure devotee, only then their material desire is removed. Otherwise not. So even though that verse is quoted and it seems like a blanket statement for everyone, but it is not. Then the scriptures would not talk about different destinations for different kinds of bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti ka ye destination hai, Karma Mishra Bhakti ka ye destination hai, or Bhakti Mishra Jnana ka ye destination hai. Why should these different destinations be given? If they are anyway approaching Krishna for fulfilling their material desires, eventually everything has to be purified and everyone should get prema. But the scriptures do indicate different kinds of destinations for different kinds of mixed practitioners. So this cannot be a blanket statement. There are both, for many, for at least a few years, this verse was very difficult for me to understand until I read Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. That gives a very good clarity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies that very clearly. Because I was wondering, how is it possible? Then how will you reconcile Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udharadi? Then how will you reconcile various different kinds of destinations given for different kinds of mixed practitioners? I was always thinking. Chaitanya Charitamrita makes it very clear. Intervention of a devotee.
Same discussion came recently. They were discussing
Material motives.
to cheat them, Chandrajaya and Aisa karke Bhakti Ram Thakur likha. Then some people asked, how like they are worshipping a lot, but even though they have motives, and Bhakti should be required, then they should become, why God is cheating them?
Achha. Who was giving the class? Dashamola Tattva. So this is the point. And the advantage of those who approach Krishna to fulfill their material desires is that they will find camaraderie with other Vaishnavas. And some of them may be pure. Hey, you also worship Vishnu. I also worship Vishnu. But the other person may be a pure devotee. So there is a good chance that he may find camaraderie in other pure practitioners of Vaishnavism. So there is a good chance that his heart may get purified. That is why Krishna calls them Udaradi. Otherwise, what is the big deal? He calls the demigod worshippers Kama Istester Hritagyana. Foolish. But they are filled with Kama. The same, akama sarva kama va moksha kama, but udaradihi. So definitely, the foolishness is not for having material desires, and intelligence is not for not having material desires. The intelligence is for surrendering to Krishna for fulfilling those desires. He is calling them udaradihi. Whereas, Kritagyana. Okay. So, we will pause here. I have to rush. It's 2:18. So, I am sorry. Actually, I wanted to tell. I just realized before coming here, I got a phone call from Tane.